This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Goal Zero. Their mission is to empower people by putting reliable solar power in the hands of all. They encourage us to lead a solar life, whether that's on the trail or on the road. I know from experience, I use Goal Zero products to stay charged while backpacking and traveling in my Sprinter van. Learn more at www.goalzero.com. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores. This episode is a continuation on the last, Adventuring with Kids, Part 2.
My name is Lynn Dwaran, and I'm a single mom living in Washington, D.C. They call these years the lost years, these years when you have young kids at home. Before you have kids, during the first years of adulthood, that's when you find yourself. That's the time you figure out who you are. It's your time, and the most important question you ask yourself is, who do I want to be? When you have kids, everything changes. Your life isn't really your own anymore. Everything is suddenly all about them. Are they healthy? Are they happy? Oh my God, did I scar them for life? Somewhere between documenting their first smiles, their first steps, their first day of school, all their important moments, you lose yourself. I have two daughters. The oldest is 7 and the youngest just turned 4. I love my girls. But I don't love being lost. After my divorce, I found my old high school journal. There was a list of mountains I would climb. And I thought, yes, I need that. I need to find a path. I need to get to the top of something. I needed to prove it to myself, and I needed to prove it to my daughters. I started hiking again, first by myself, and then as I became more comfortable in the outdoors, I took my daughters with me. I knew nothing when I started this. I didn't know how to pitch a tent, how to build a fire, how to purify water, and I sure as hell didn't know how to read a map. Now I can do all that, and I teach those things to my daughters. We love hiking, camping, and climbing. I hope it makes them feel confident, like there's nothing they can't do. There's no problem they can't solve. When we're on a trail, we take turns being the leader. The leader is responsible for finding the path and pointing out unsafe terrain like loose rocks. It teaches them awareness of their surroundings and responsibility for others. The first time I took my girls climbing, my friend was belaying for me, and I got to the top. When I came back down, my oldest daughter looked at me and said, "I didn't know you could do that, Mommy." I don't always make it to the top, and they know that. They've seen me fall. They also see me get back up. I was lost, and that's not good for me or my kids. The mountains are where I found myself again. Even better, it's where my daughters found me too.
In this episode, we talk about the benefits of getting out there with your kids, and we also talk about some of the challenges that come up. What could be keeping parents from taking those chances that they want to take? By using your stories and by interviewing Shanti Hodges, the founder of Hike It Baby, as well as the creators of the Born Wild Project, Allie Nicholas and Elisa Geiser.
Since January of 2016, we were 197 cities, and as of last month, we were 310. We have 564 ambassadors who are incredible, and they help each city happen. And now people are flying around the country and hiking with each other and meeting each other through Hike It Baby.
First up is Shanti Hodges. Hike It Baby began 3 years ago and has blossomed into a community of over 300 Hike It Baby branches. Every month, there is around 3,500 family hikes around North America. Hike It Baby is dedicated to getting families with kids age 0 to school age outdoors. And it shows. All you have to do is log on to hikeitbaby.com, create a profile, and enter your zip code. Chances are there's a hike going on near you. How's that for a low barrier to entry? We talk with Shanti about Hike It Baby origins, why it's important for babies to get outside, and how group hiking could help you overcome your doubts.
Hike It Baby came to be simply because I had a baby and was looking for adults to hang out with and go hike with because I had this newborn and I was alone a lot. That often happens when a family has a baby and either the father or the mother stays home for a while as you have that newborn. So the big thing is finding people. And so you go to the obvious, which is like new mama groups or library hour and all that stuff. You know, I was looking more to be outside and I just wasn't finding it. So I built it myself with the intention of finding friends in Portland. It just blew up from there.
What would you say Hike a Baby's mission is?
Hike a Baby's mission is basically to get families with birth to school age kids, like 5, 6 years old, out onto trails in nature together. All kinds of families. Mom, dad, nanny, granny, aunt, uncle, caregiver, foster parent. It's encouraging people to meet in neutral space in nature and get outside.
How, for you, did having your son impact or change your outdoor life?
Everyone tells you, like, oh, you won't be all adventurous. You won't do the things that you always did. You guys won't camp anymore. And so I was really nervous about that from the start. Like, I loved being outside. I loved going camping. And I was pretty into, in my past, like snowboarding and surfing and just being out there doing stuff, mountain biking. But when I had Mason, I decided I was still just going to be outside a lot and just get out there. Hiking is really awesome and a great way to connect with a newborn. And I don't feel like I'm missing out on any of those things I used to do. Interestingly, I found that's not it hasn't been a downside to have a baby. You know, I've actually been outside more than I ever remember in my past.
That's awesome. As your son has grown older, how has your hiking experiences changed?
You know, I'm maybe not trying to do 7, 8, 9, 10 miles because he's heavier. The other day we hiked 3 miles and I was like, that's good. I'm totally happy with that. But also just being really aware of the trails we're on, because sometimes he wants to be on my back and sometimes he wants to hike himself. And so just being more aware of the trails. Often you'll look at something and it says, hey, this is easy. And you get there and you're like, there's no way I'm letting my 3-year-old walk with that cliff and that huge waterfall. Like, that's not happening. So it's tricky because they're, you know, we are, Hike a Baby has become that resource for people to be like, to come to town and say, hey, I'd like to hike this trail. Is this safe for my 2-year-old?
You told me before that you're looking to get notifications at Trailhead that say that it's Hike a Baby approved.
Yeah, that's our long-term vision. We would love that. I was just in Alaska and I saw Leave No Trace and that was awesome. I pulled it and I was like, wow, this is really cool. It tells you all the things to not do on trails or to protect your trail and keep it a nice trail. With Hike It Baby, we would love to be the governing body saying, hey, this is a great trail for a family that has kids under 5 years old. And people just know to trust that. So we're starting that by just building it out on our website so you can find out where to go through us. And even if you have a review from another site, you still come to our site to make sure that it matches up with what you're reading.
Why do you think that the age range that Hike It Baby targets is an underserved market within the outdoor industry?
It's interesting. I would think people would want to really go for the birth to 3, birth to 5 audience. But strangely enough, I think, unfortunately, a lot of it's product driven. And so when you make a shoe for a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and it's a little hiking shoe, it costs you the same as an adult shoe, but you can only charge half as much. There's definitely some economics in there. Also, people are like, oh, adults aren't going to buy expensive shoes for their babies. And that's some, in some cases, that's true. But I think part of it is just the education of teaching families. If your kid is his feet are cold, he's going to hate hiking. So you need to get them good shoes if you're really going to get out. Everyone knows the better your gear is, the happier you are outside.
From like the industry perspective, even though it might not be the most profitable within that time range, they're making an investment in future consumers, right?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. If your child is used to a certain brand and they really like it, with Mason, I mean, he loves all his little shoes. And I know that he's used to the comfort of them. We use Keens and they're great. And he loves them and they're so easy and to get on and off them. And he hikes so well in them. And we've used them at different stages. And as he's gotten older, and he just loves them. And he always like, I want my red shoes. I want my red shoes. Like right away, he identifies with them. So we can keep buying those. And I know he's going to keep liking them as he gets bigger. We're reaching probably, you know, 150,000, 170,000 families right now and teaching them like it's important what how you layer your kids. We're not saying go buy expensive stuff. We're just saying, please, please really look at the clothing you're putting on your kids when you're going out in cold weather and in rain and, you know, in different conditions.
Gear could be one reason that newer parents might be nervous about going outside with their kids.
It's gear and it's also afraid of the elements and of other people. There's a lot of fear of what will be on the trail, who will be on the trail, and what could happen to you. It start raining, it could start snowing, there could be a dog or an animal or, you know, a person that's maybe not wanting to do you right, and you've got your baby. But really, at the end of the day, being outside is the best thing you can do for your newborn. Just think about it. Think about that baby on your chest or on your back, sitting there and looking up at the sky, looking at the leaves, hearing a bee go by, buzz by. I mean, there's so many things that are happening in that moment when you're outside with a child.
It's got to be really good for their brain development too.
Oh, I mean, it really is. If you just think about for adults, they say we're, 60% more creative for up to an hour after we go outside for a walk. There's a Stanford study that said that. So you can only imagine what it's doing for a child. There has been a lot of recent studies that have showed lower ADD and ADHD in cases of kids that are exposed to more nature. And think about this too. Your synapses are growing in the first few months of your life at such a rapid pace in your brain. You know, what you want to be exposing children to is natural elements, sky, sun. Vitamin D is so critical. There's all these reasons to get outside. And just because it's a rainy day or a cloudy day doesn't mean those reasons change. I mean, it's still your brain is developing and growing when you're outside and you're breathing in trees and the trail.
Besides just organically motivating people to get out with kids by meeting up with other people who are doing it and safety in numbers and building those great relationships, what other ways does Hike a Baby educate parents about the benefits of going outside with their kids?
We actually do workshops in different communities and places like REI and different outdoor stores. We have a blog that's really, really active. We have probably a new blog every other day. And we just in general, like the community really supports each other. We have private Facebook groups for each community and we just have tons of people that are asking questions. It's incredibly active every day. And depending on the community you're in, and also people really help each other out. Every day I'll see a post where someone says, hey, I want to get out this winter, but I don't even know how to begin doing it. And immediately you'll see 10 people post, oh, you know, have you tried this? You know, look for this product, look for, you know, it's just everything from what to wear to how to do it to how to motivate yourself.
Anything else you want to add?
One of the things I noticed really early on with Hike It Baby is that nature doesn't care how much money you have, what color your skin is, what your sexual orientation is. It's all neutral. You're getting rained on if it's raining. Families show up and they don't know who's going to be on the hike or what it's going to be like. And everyone's just coming together. And it's just like you're creating a really strong base from the very beginning for not only your children to really see everyone outside appreciating nature together, but you're also creating a really open space for anyone to join in. And so it's really cool. It's a very, you're starting at a very neutral place because it's all in parks and public lands, low barrier to getting people outside. You don't need gear. You don't need any. It's great. I mean, it's really exciting to see that it has caught on and I'm really excited to see what's next.
Learn more about Hike It Baby by visiting hikeitbaby.com. Find a group in your area. You can even sign up to lead a hike. It's also worth noting that Hike It Baby is a nonprofit and depends on donations and purchases from their store to keep growing. Find out more about their mission and consider making a donation via hikeitbaby.com. I love this story from Dylan Stubblefield, expanding on the challenges and overall benefits of bringing her kids outside.
Becoming a mother was my summit, my highest peak, my greatest climb, the hardest thing I have done and will do. I go into the outdoors now knowing what incredible things my body and my mind is able to accomplish. Everything before me seems doable. It's hard adventuring with kids, but I decided from day one that I wasn't going to let motherhood keep me from doing the things that I love, even if it is more of a hassle now to get outside or go camping. Because of this, my two-year-old girl will happily lead trails, ride in our Osprey backpack on long hikes, and could wander the woods, skip rocks on the river, and look for squirrels and flowers all day. One of the first times she slept through the night was in a tent in the mountains. My kids come to life outdoors, and they are content. And so am I. It seems impossible at times to pack light, between all the diapers and snacks and extra clothes, so day trips and camping in the backyard can feel more practical. My kids remind me all the time that it's not about the landmarks, getting to the top or finishing a trail. It's about having an experience where you can learn and wonder. When we get out of our comfortable beds and routine and sleep under the stars, I know that their eyes are discovering the whole wide world and their hearts are in awe, as mine also is. Being able to raise our kids outside and teach them skills of foraging, climbing, animal tracking, setting up a camp is something I hope that they will carry with them forever. I'm reminded that their childhood should be filled with experiences and not things. When we come home at the end of the day, exhausted, clothes dirty, boots muddy, and a long night of cleaning ahead of me, I feel that the challenges to getting us all outside was completely worth it.
This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Goal Zero. Goal Zero doesn't just make products to help us take chances in our outdoor lives. They tell the stories of solar life as well. And they understand the importance of adventuring as a kid. Case in point, one of their ambassadors, Liliana Lebecki, is a 12-year-old explorer. A self-described animal lover and world traveler, Liliana has been to all 7 continents and has even summited Kilimanjaro. Her adventurous spirit is contagious. She welcomes challenges, and her favorite word is wanderlust. After summiting the mountain in Tanzania, Lily visited the Kilimanjaro Kids Community Center. She saw how Goal Zero donated solar panels for the center, providing light and safety to the community. Lily hopes to incorporate more humanitarian efforts to her travels in the future, because by giving back, she helped more kids be able to adventure. Learn more at www.goalzero.com/solarlife.
Central to this is the belief that if we raise our kids to love these wild areas and to love the wilderness in themselves, they're more likely to protect these areas. And that's going to be better for the earth and all of its living things.
You just heard from Elisa Geiser, one of the 2 Born Wild Project founders. Born Wild is a film series and upcoming online platform centering around families embracing the outdoors. A year ago, they crowdfunded to help finance their first short film about 3 young moms and their children. Beautiful cinematography and compelling stories helped bring the project to life and grow their online presence. It's about 50,000 strong between Instagram and Facebook. I talk with Allie Nicholas and Elisa Geiser over Skype. Here's Allie to tell us more about Born Wild's origins.
It initially started out, it was just going to be a photo shoot. The 3 moms that are the subject of our first film reached out to me and asked me to shoot some photos for a story they wanted to write. I thought that this could be something bigger. And the initial idea was to just make a short, like 5-minute film. I pulled Elisa in to do some story consulting, and we launched it online on Instagram, and the immediate response we got made us realize that this was something that was much bigger and was in need. A niche that needed to be filled.
Do you have a background with kids where you felt motivated to create it together? Or was it more like you thought about your own childhoods and how important spending time outside was for you?
Our own childhoods was definitely like the largest inspiration for us to personally be involved. Neither of us have children yet, but we were raised in this way, and it's very much influenced the way that we've chosen to live our lives and what we put our energy into, both as like outdoor athletes and also as advocates for our wild places.
I'd also say that conservation has always been just very important for both of us. I've always had a deep personal interest in rewilding, and Allie had read Last Child Left in the Woods. We'd both come in with a lot of interest in the subjects that became very central to the Born Wild project. When we saw that there was a need and a desire for creation of content that was informative and inspiring, and for this community platform to be built, we wanted to do all we could to help fulfill that need and to be a part of creating that solution, because central to this is the belief that if we raise our kids to love these wild areas and to love the wilderness in themselves, they're more likely to protect these areas. And that's going to be better for the earth and all of its living things.
I asked Allie about the first short film, Wild Child. It'll be released online in November 2016 and features Morgan Breschler, Brooke Froelich, and Shannon Robertson. Apologies if I pronounce those names incorrectly. Here's what Allie had to say.
You know, the first film is meant to be an introduction to this lifestyle, and it has some prescriptive information. And, you know, we dive into the characters, our subjects, their own reasons for choosing for the outdoors to be a central focus of their children's upbringing. So we hope that people are inspired by that to find ways to incorporate wildness and outdoor play into their own children's lives.
What do you think from some of the responses you've gotten from parents through making the film and building this community? What do you think are some of the barriers for parents to spend that quality time outside with their kids?
You know, I would say that we've seen a lot of parents who are intimidated, A, by thinking that they need gear or training information. And that's actually something that we aim to debunk, is that, you know, there's lots of wonderful gear out there. And don't get me wrong, like a great pair of shoes is going to make your life happier when you're going for a long hike. But really, when it comes down to it, to get outside with your kids, all you got to do is kick your kids out the door or take them for a hike. You know, just start, just put one foot in front of the other. And that's really the message that we want to convey, is that it doesn't take any special training. It doesn't take any special gear. You just got to get out there and do it. Just get out there and start. Another barrier to entry, I would say, that we've seen come up a lot, and this is something that we address in the first film, is not having a community. It can be hard to find other parents who are out there doing these things with their kids. It can be hard to find, you know, A, people to go out there and have these adventures with, because it's so much more fun if you've got three kids running around the woods rather than just your one kid, right? And it can be hard to find those people to have these adventures with. And then it can also just be hard to find that support for when you want to reach out and have questions, and even people telling you it's okay for your kid to fall down and scrape their knees. Other parents who have that same mindset, that it's okay to give them this freedom to get out and run. It's okay to take them on these adventures. So with the community, we're really trying to create a way for people to connect and create a place that is encouraging and empowering and tells them that, yes, you are doing the right thing. The best thing that you can do for your kid really is allow them to have more time in the wild.
I asked Allie and Elisa whether their online community would include real-world meetups. The short answer is no. Here's why.
At the core of it, like, we're storytellers and we want to tell stories that can impact change and inspire people to live more fulfilled lives. You know, and that's kind of at the core of what we do with most of our projects. And we're excited working with or supporting as much as we can organizations like Hike It Baby that are our boots on the ground.
And from the beginning, you know, one of our goals with making this multimedia platform for connecting families with wilderness and wildness was to connect them with these other organizations, right? Like, we don't want to provide all the services that other organizations like Hike It Baby are already providing. We just want to make there be a central hub where people can gain awareness and know what's out there.
How can we support Born Wild Project?
You can follow our project. You can share it with your friends. You can share the film when it comes out and watch it. But I think the biggest thing that you can do to support the project is to go outside with your families, you know, whether you have children or not. Spend time in the wilderness and connect with each other and connect with our planet. And that's the biggest way you can support what we're doing, because that's the ultimate goal with it.
So you can follow Born Wild Project on Instagram and Facebook, but there's a caveat.
I mean, we love it when people share their photos and their stories with us, and we definitely post a lot of user-generated content. That said, I think that you got to be really careful with that. You got to make sure that you're really enjoying the experience and engaging with the experience and being present with the experience, and not let documenting it take away from that. So, I mean, I would go as far to say that documenting these experiences is in and of itself a more advanced skill. And I say that not because it's an advanced skill to be a photographer, because it's advanced skill to be able to take that picture and then go back to the experience. First, master just being in the experience before you try to bring photography into it.
Yeah, be there. Like, the whole concept of being here now. We encourage people to connect again with their families and their planet in a really deep and meaningful way. And I think focusing too much on documenting and sharing can get in the way of that. And paradoxically, it can also really inspire you to get out more if you're documenting it, you know, and sharing it. Like, that positive feedback is a really great thing. So I think it's finding that balance of being present and being excited to share it it's a great thing too.
We want kids to engage with this project. We are always looking for more ways to make it be something that it's not just the parents, that like the kids are like, yeah, I was born wild. I'm a wild child. We want that. When we're out there in these natural areas with our kids, we are modeling for them how you experience them and how you engage with them. I think it's really important to be conscious about what you're modeling. If you're modeling that you're experiencing the world through a phone, that's what your kid's gonna do. So yeah, it's just, I think, really important to remember that, like, think about, how do I want my kid to experience this? If I'm always on my phone, that's what they're gonna think is the right thing to do. Now, if you're demonstrating a really, you know, a responsible use of the phone and the photography and stuff, then that could be a really positive thing, because we're not out there trying to pretend that technology doesn't exist or like that you should throw your phone in a well or something, you know, like clearly it's an important part of what we're doing. That said, moderation, responsible engagement.
Keep an eye out for the short film Wild Child and Born Wild Project's new online community platform. Both debut in November. Our last memo is from a mom with a big family.
Hi, this is Stephanie with Raising Kids Wild. My husband James and I, we have four kids between us, and when we first met, we did a lot of outdoor activities. We still do a lot of outdoor activities, but with kids, it's always finding creative ways to keep them interested. Since all of our kids range from ages 14 to 2, I find that going outdoors before having kids was a lot different, because you have a lot more flexibility and you don't have to be thinking on your toes as much. But with kids, we always have to find ways to keep them interested on the trail. And then as they get older, our oldest is 14, it's finding ways that would keep them interested as older kids. So whether it be playing games or themed hikes, it's really just about figuring out different ways so that their love of the outdoors continues as they get older. Last year, it was our longest hike. We did Mount Diablo in Clayton, California. It was a 7-miler. It was pretty tough. I mean, it was tough for me because I was carrying Poppy, my 2-year-old, on my back for half the time, and my husband did the other half. But for our older kids especially, you'd think that the younger one, that she would have more of the issue, but she was fine throughout the whole hike. It was my older ones that were sort of dreading the fact that we were only on mile 4 at the time, and they were wondering if we were almost done, and we weren't. You know, we had to basically do a round trip, and it being as tough as it was, I believe there was elevation maybe close to 2,000 feet, and it was a hot, sweltering day. I mean, it was so hot. And then we made it, though, all the way through. The reward was a small little waterfall at the end, but it was definitely worth it, because at the very end, they were just excited that they had completed the hike, that we had gone that long as a family and survived it together. We had ate all of our snacks. It was hot. I was irritable. My husband was like, let's just get through it. And we were trying everything we could to just motivate the kids to keep going. And they did. And the thing is if we had done anything but stay positive, I think that would have directly impacted them throughout the hike, and they would have just given up. Being a 7+ mile hike as a family of 6 is a big deal. And I really pride myself on that, because for them to be able to finish that mileage, but then also have the reward of knowing that they were able to do it, made it that much easier to proposition them later on that, you know, if we wanted to go on a longer hike later, it was much easier for them to accept the fact that they could do it, as opposed to feeling defeated up front. So I think that's a pretty big success story for us as a big family. And that's it, I think.
That's it for this episode as well. In the future, I'd love to cover more stories in depth about parenting and adventuring as kids. I didn't end up hearing from any more retired moms or empty nesters. Perhaps that's a story for another day. Thank you to Shanti Hodges, Allie Nicholas, and Elisa Geiser for their thoughtful interviews. You can learn more about them and all the women who submitted their stories via the episode page at she-explores.com/podcast. Thanks to our sponsor, Goal Zero. It takes a lot of work to maintain a podcast. Sponsors and supporters make a huge difference. Music is by Nihilor, Mind's Eye, Mize, and Rocco W. We've got some good episodes lined up. More post-Pacific Crest Trail interviewees, the women of Wilder, and two special episodes of Diversity in the Outdoors. Until then,